That's Andrew Collins with Banish Misfortune, played live for Folk Roots Radio at the Folk Music Ontario Conference. I feel rather lucky having Andrew join me on the radio again. I had a chance a few months ago to talk to him about his wonderful album, and it was good, the fabulous concept album based around the story of a well-known book, and I think that was Genesis from the Bible.
Yeah, that's right. It's a bestseller.
Yeah, it's a bestseller. I have to say, I mean, I'm a true fan. I love watching you play mandolin, and it's so effortless. It just blows my mind. It's like, okay, is he warming up or is he actually playing something? Because it almost seems like that.
Well, it's not effortless. Lots and lots of effort's gone into it for sure.
Yeah. But did you find that when you first picked up a mandolin, it just felt the right instrument for you? I mean, you must have started on guitar, did you?
No, I kind of started on mandolin. Like, I'd had guitars a few different times growing up, and I'd practice for a week or two and then lose interest and it'd collect dust, and I'd get rid of it and then get another guitar like 4 years later, and did that a few times. But when I started playing mandolin, it's the first time that I wanted to play mandolin for years before I finally broke down and bought one. I just didn't think, based on my experience with the guitar, that I would keep up practicing, and I didn't want to be, you know, crappy at it. So it just kept me from getting one for years. And then finally, the circumstances were right. I was living as a ski bum in Whistler and had some friends in Vancouver that were just sort of, they were good musicians, but sort of getting started in bluegrass. So it was like a safe environment to sort of cut my teeth. And I broke down and I bought a mandolin. And what I discovered was that all these times I was trying to play guitar, I was lacking an outlet for the practice to go somewhere. And so I'd lose interest, but not because I actually didn't like practicing. It's because it got boring because I never had the outlet for it. And then when I started playing mandolin and had this outlet for jamming and practicing with people, it just took over my life. And then I practiced 8 hours a day for many, many years.
And then probably the fact that you became so proficient at the mandolin, suddenly you become the person that everybody wants to play with them, right? Is that one of the things? I don't know.
You know, I think, when I first started, like everyone, I was a total rank beginner and I sucked, just like everyone does when they don't know how to do something. And when I moved back to Toronto, I went to high school with Chris Cool, who's the person that exposed me to this music in the first place. And it was him and a couple other guys, Dan Whiteley and Chris Quinn, that were kind of the bluegrass scene in Toronto. But they were like at such a high level of proficiency that I just was moving back here to be like close to it and, you know, maybe take lessons. And they just took me in, and I don't think they could see how dedicated I was, but like, you know, when tempos got up, it was still out of my ability at first there, but they just, like, you know, took me in and threw me into the fire right away. And that definitely helped my improvement curve.
Yeah, it's just when I consider your level of proficiency and then You know, I read this line in your bio, you know, 5 times Juno nominee and 7 times Canadian Folk Music Award winning Mando Maestro. I mean, it is somewhat mind-blowing to have achieved that and still be, I would regard as being relatively young.
Oh, well, that's very musician. Generous of yeah. you.
Yeah, well, I like to butter up the people I love. Yeah. So, I mean, you must be really pleased to have, you know, developed this niche because, you know, you're not just known as a very accomplished musician. You're also a producer and an engineer.
Yeah.
You do a hell of a lot of other stuff at the same time.
Yeah, and they all are feeding the same love for this. And you know, bluegrass is a very technically demanding music. High tempos and fast melodies and intricate playing. So people that are good at bluegrass music have all this facility. And so if you took that and started exploring other styles of music that also require that, like jazz music or classical music, you're not starting from absolute zero. You've got all this facility and then have just a vocabulary to learn. And just by virtue of this style of music being an exploration of all these different styles, it definitely stands out. And, you know, we're lucky for that. So, you know, it is instrumental music, so we definitely get noticed for playing instrumental stuff.
But, you know, being a member of, you know, you've got your own trio, the Andrew Collins Trio. Yep. You're a member of the Foggy Hogtown Boys, who kind of have legendary status around Toronto. And whenever they go out into the province to play, you're also, you've got the Creaking Tree String Quartet. I always kind of wonder, you know, in Canada, you've really developed this niche on the mm-hmm. mandolin. What about when you go down into the States, you know, and get with some of the bluegrass players down there?
You know, I feel like we're really welcomed for sure. This year is kind of, for the Andrew Collins Trio especially, this is really just the first year that we've been touring in the States. And we have actually a lot of touring in the U.S. coming up over the next year. And it's great. We just played in Oklahoma to a bluegrass festival that, you know, sometimes you play Ontario bluegrass festivals and playing this kind of music, we're like really outside what they expect and what they kind of want sometimes. And we played a bluegrass festival in Oklahoma, which I would have assumed would have been even more like that, but they loved it and were really open to outside music. And, you know, the headlining act, even though it was a festival run by Byron Berline, who's, you know, super trad fiddle player, they had Sierra Hall headlining the festival. And that's, you know, pretty far outside of bluegrass, even though it's really great acoustic music. Because this music draws on so many different styles, I feel like it really has ends to connecting with, you know, so many more people than are just people that are into bluegrass. You know, we've got a bluegrass thing, an element to our music, so I think we can pull from bluegrass audiences, but there's also a jazz thing, and, you know, jazz audiences that might not listen to bluegrass might give us more of a chance than if we were just a straight-ahead bluegrass band.
So do you like the fact that, you know, you can play around the edges? I mean, yeah, you can call it bluegrass, but, you know, you have all of these other influences. Is that really you? Is that like the you that, you know, 20 years time when we're redoing one of these interviews and saying, hey, we remember when? But you're always going to want to be trying to push those boundaries and explore new things.
I love playing straight ahead stuff. So in the Foggy Hogtown Boys, like it really is a passion and an outlet to play straight ahead bluegrass music and try and play it, you know, relatively true to its, you know, without being mimicking something, trying to be true to the style. But this new acoustic music is kind of the music that got me interested in the mandolin in the first place. So, you know, my heroes were doing this thing and exploring, and it's all about creating new original music and trying not to sound like other things, but still hearken to all these different things. So I hope I'm still doing it. Yeah. And I hope and plan on doing, you know, traditional, more straight ahead things as well. But,
and I hope I want to interview you in 20 years' time. I think that would be rather cool, too.
Yeah.
Your band, the Andrew Collins Trio, are doing tremendously well. I mean, I can't speak highly enough about the wonderful instrumental album, And It Was Good, which came out last year. You're working on new stuff, though, already, right?
Yes, we're planning on going into the studio in December to record 2 albums at once.
So why 2 albums at once?
Well, it's funny, it started off, ironically enough, me not wanting to do another. I don't want concept albums to be my thing now after doing this. Like, it was really cool and a really great challenge, but I still want us to be doing different things, and I've been really wanting to do an instrumental album with the trio that really has absolutely no guests, and it's just the trio. And, you know, even on the first album, we have a few guests. We've got Trent Freeman playing some fiddle, and I kind of wanted to do something that's really what we do when we're on stage. Also, a big part of our show is doing vocal stuff, and I have been wanting to do an album of, like, I've had a list of some of my favorite covers that I've never heard it, adaptations done in, you know, a new acoustic-y sort of way that I've been wanting to do, and a couple original tunes that we've been wanting to do. And, you know, people actually at the shows, they want to buy stuff that has vocals on it as well. So it turned into like a concept album where it's like two albums that it's a separate album, but like even the graphic art, when you put them together, will complete an image. And one is based on just like being an instrumental thing, and the other is based on all this vocal stuff. And in a lot of ways, it's a little bit of I wouldn't say it's like a step backwards, but like a retrospective kind of purposely, even with the instrumental stuff, trying to be less far afield and hearkening more to my influences a little bit.
So when you talk of covers, are we talking bluegrass covers? I mean, are we going all traditional, or are you talking something... You know,
no, I've a really wide, genres. Really wide array. I mean, you heard us do that Kevin Bright song, Nothing About Us, and there's another Nick Drake song. We recorded a Nick Drake song a while ago, but we're going to be doing another Nick Drake song.
Which one?
Cello song.
Oh, that's a fabulous song. Which mandocello song.
Exactly. That's that. You got the joke. Yeah, there's going to be a mandocello on it.
Oh, cool.
And a Graham Nash song, and a song written by Tom Parker.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so all over the place.
That's obviously Kevin Bright's influence rubbing off there, I think.
Maybe. I mean, I've always had, you know, actually, honestly, a lot of these songs I've had on a list. There, many, many years ago, I did a weekly gig at the Cameron House just solo, and I started developing a repertoire of just songs. And so a lot of these are actually have been sitting there languishing, and much like the concept for And It Was Good. I had that idea like 8 years earlier, and it just took me long enough to feel ready to take it on. And this is kind of the same thing.
And we should mention, for people who are not familiar with that album, I mean, that's basically, I think, 7 tracks, one for each day of creation.
Yeah. Yeah. And a bonus track that's just sort of like a celebratory one, the title track, And It Was Good.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And it was very, very good.
Well, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Let's play another track, because you're live. We're at Folk Music Ontario. What are you going to play for us?
We were talking about a song that, speaking of the new album, a song that we're going to be recording, is one that I wrote. And I recorded it a few years back, but it feels more relevant today than ever, called The Coming Into Hard Time Blues.
Top the hill, just look at whose hands are on the steering wheel. Well, I've got them coming hard time blues. Well, the rich can rich, a poor can poor. Now the winners, losers, and I'm not the form. Well, I've got the low down feeling coming into hard time blues. Work three, work four jobs forevermore. Work to the bone, can't afford to be poor. Running aground while a dead stand still. Had this become my worn shoes to fill. Well, telling me that we're living free just as long as you're part of the majority. Well, I've got the low-down feeling coming into hard time blues. Find out that you are right where you are. Well, I've got the coming in hard time blues. Well, telling captain if they catch you smoking tea. Well, I've got the low down feeling coming in the hard time blues. I got the deep down creeping, no good feeling coming in the hard time blues.
Now, I think you mentioned before we started that that's how, that actually was written for the Foggy Hogtown Boys.
Yes, on which album? On an album called The Golden West.
Right. And you're going to do another version of it for... Would that go on the... That'll go on the vocal album,
yes.
I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Let's talk about the trio. Now, you're here playing with the trio, but that's not the full trio. And Mike Mezzatesta
plays
with you. He plays guitar and mandolin.
And fiddle mandola.
Oh, he plays everything.
Yeah.
And then you normally have James McElhenney on bass, and he also sings a bit for you as well.
Yes. Yeah. And he is actually in Germany, I believe, right now with Sarah Jane Scouten. So we've got a sub with the most named Tim O'Reilly playing with us,
who's
also a super fine singer and great bass player and man of many talents.
So what is it like being on the road when you're with the trio? You know, one of the things that I noticed, you played a private showcase for us last night, and it was clear that you have so much fun when you're playing together. Do you find that, you know, being on the road is like the best thing, you know, getting out and playing shows with the people that you know so well?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's, I guess it depends on how the show goes. But the really enjoyable part of playing this kind of music for me is that we've got all these intricate arrangements, and like, there's always something around the corner that's going to be happening. And hopefully for the audience, there are all these surprises that are going to happen that seem logical after they've happened, but you don't see them coming, sort of thing. We're always just trying to execute things, and you can't force that sort of thing. So it's always this trying to keep your mind clear but concentrating at the same time. So it's sort of like playing a game and just getting through a set and maneuvering through all the little technical maneuvers and tricks that we have up our sleeve is really a lot like a game, and it can be really fun when it's clicking.
And so you'll be going into the studio together. You mentioned it probably towards the end of the year.
Yeah, in December we're going to go in and we're going to record two albums worth of material.
And will they be produced by you? I mean, you'll...
And they're going to be recorded at my studio. We did the last one. We elicited the skills of my great friend and mentor, David Travers Smith. He recorded the last album and mastered it and co-produced with me because he was really my ears during the session. We recorded it all live with the string quartet, and it just, with that many musicians, that's a little bit bigger than what my studio could handle or what my level of concentration could handle. So, but this will be just the trio for everything. So I'll record it and produce it like I have all of our other stuff.
Are you producing many other people at the moment? I mean, I never know how much you actually are able to get into.
I'm currently producing an artist who actually won a songwriting award here at FMO this week, Doris Fulkins. And I am just about finished recording. I'm not producing. Chris Gould is actually producing, but I'm just about finished recording the Slow Can Ramblers new album. And yeah, there are always things coming around the bend. Yeah.
Well, it's always a great pleasure to talk to you. I want to talk about Kevin Bright now, though, because, you know...
Oh, love to.
Andrew Collins, Kevin Bright, who do I like more?
Don't answer that, please. Not for me.
One of the great pleasures is that I've had in the last few years is seeing you play mandolin with Kevin on, you know, his mandolin projects with the Upper York Mandolin Quartet.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you talk a little bit about playing with someone like Kevin? And I mean, obviously he is an incredible guitarist in the same way I would say that you're incredible on a mandolin.
And he's incredible mandolinist and mandocellist. Yeah. And when we're playing together, he pretty much exclusively plays mandocello.
Right.
So when I first started playing with him, I was at a point actually where, you know, I still love playing music and everything, but studio had really started to overshadow performing a bit. And you know, when you do your passion for your livelihood as well, it can, you can get burnt out a little bit. And I guess I got a little burnt out on like my passion about mandolin. And I actually kind of got really focused on pool for a little while, and which was really liberating to be doing something and practicing really hard on something that had nothing to do with my livelihood. And I guess just over 2 years ago, Kevin got in touch with me to play all his material, and it's really challenging stuff and really unique and far, like, required techniques that are really different from bluegrass and approach to playing mandolin. And so, like, he's a hero of mine, and so it really forced me to practice and practice some stuff that was really new and refreshing. And it kind of snapped something in me where I became super passionate about mandolin again, more so than I'd been in many, many years, and all the instruments. And I've been really been practicing more than I have in the last 10 years. So this has been like 2.5 years, and it's not like an effort thing. It's just where my focus is again. So yeah, I owe a lot to Kevin for that. And he's such a gentleman to tour with, and a musical genius. So like getting to be on stage and watching him cut loose is pretty amazing.
You mentioned earlier that you're going to record one of his songs.
Yes.
Nothing About Us, which I think is on the first. Isn't that on the first of the Upper Mandolin Quartet albums?
I think so, yeah. I actually originally got it in an MP3 and learned it. So he got a band to actually be able to play the stuff live after Ernesto and Delilah, and which is a double album as well, actually, which is ironically and not an influence on my decision to do this. One is all instrumental, sort of Brazilian choro type original craziness, and the other is just all these great songs that he's written, and almost all duets with Rebecca Jenkins, who is also a marvel to hear and watch perform, like really captivating artist. And they would perform this as a duet every night, and it's just a genius song called Nothing About Us.
I'd love it if you could play that for us. This is going to be on the album. Do these new albums have names yet?
You know, I've had a working title, one calling just A Song and the other called A Dance. So A Song would be all the vocal ones, and possibly And A Dance would be the other one, or A Dance. I'm not sure. Anyhow, that's the working title right now. Something clever or less clever might come to me that I like more, but that's it for now.
Andrew Collins with a live version of Kevin Bright's Nothing About Us for Folk Roots Radio at the Folk Music Ontario Conference.
What could I write and what could I share to make you believe I truly care about you? I'm uncertain, 'cause every line and every word begins to sound a bit absurd in this silence. Needs no repeating, just another flying crow to cut through the flesh and bone. And I'm tired of looking over fools' gold, and I yearn to fly on north wind. Ooh. It's all about you, it's all about me, but nothing about us. It's all about you. It's all about me, but nothing about us. Cold, cold linoleum, I walk the floor waiting for him, but he's 10,000 miles in the future. A dancing dress on the clothesline reminds me of another time before. The fall of Eden. Cherry blossom baby. Paint the tattoo lady. 'Cause what's on her shoulder means living is believing, and she never shed a tear. Ooh, it's all about you, it's all about me, but nothing about us. It's all about me, but nothing about us. It's all about you, it's all about me.
That's Andrew Collins with a live version of Nothing About Us at the Folk Music Ontario Conference, and that's going to be on the new albums. I like the ideas of a song and a dance.
Good.
I think that sounds pretty good. It's been great to have you join us. If people want to learn more about your music, how can they do that?
AndrewCollinsTrio.com. That's the way to go. Yeah, you can hear our music, you can buy our music, see where we're playing, read about us, see some good and some silly pictures of us.
That's great. It's always a great pleasure to talk to you. Thanks again.
Well, thank you, Jan.